Hello, my name is Christopher Kakuyo Sensei, and I am the practice leader of the Salt Lake Buddhist Fellowship. Our fellowship is made up of folks from all walks of American life. We are an American Buddhist Sangha. Our fellowship is lay-led, all-inclusive, non-discriminating, and trans-sectarian Sangha, influenced by the Pure Land Buddhist tradition and the teachings of Gyomei and Koyo Kobose. Our organization focuses on the universal teachings of Gautama Buddha, the historical Buddha, and the mythic Buddha Amida. Our approach follows the teachings of the Way of Oneness, a unique form of American Buddhism developed by Venerable Reverend Gyomei Kobose, based on Shin Buddhist tenets. What you are about to hear are some Dharma talks from our local fellowship gatherings. Enjoy the Dharma Talk.
So for today's Dharma Talk, it's part of a series of Dharma Talks that I'm doing. And this one is the second. Last Sunday, we talked about Come As You Are, Attend to All and Each, and that is available on our podcast for you to listen to if you weren't able to be here. So the second foundational Dharma talk is titled Way of the Foolish Being. And this is an important element of Come As You Are. And it's also what makes our community, in a sense, ways unique to other Buddhist communities within our region. The thing that makes us unique is we have no masters, no gurus, no Dharma transmission. Don't have anyone who claims a special insight to the Dharma, or someone who has seen the Buddha himself in their dreams. The thing that we share in our community, in our tradition, is our studentship. That's what we share. Our studentship of the way. It's not our specialness or our holiness. It is with humility, being aware of our limitations and the reality of our day-to-day lives. As I have said, sitting right here many times and many times again, that I too will disappoint, and that I do not, nor have I ever considered myself, to be a guru or a master. They do know what I am. I am a foolish, ordinary being. This idea of the foolish being or ordinary being is the foundation of what we do. And I want to continue this conversation of our translation of the Shin tradition, because that's where we are inspired out of. Today, it's an idea that is very central to the Shin tradition, and that's called Bonbu. Bonbu. And I want to share how we can apply this teaching, this idea, into our everyday life, and how we can translate this idea and this concept, this way of living, into an everyday Buddhism that we live here and now. When I first learned of this teaching a few years ago, I had a contradictory relationship with it. I loved it and I struggled with it, especially with the teaching that we are all Bonbu, or as we translate the Shin tradition, foolish beings. In Shin Buddhism, one of the core ideas is that we are all foolish beings, totally deluded and so filled with ego and selfishness, awakening is nearly impossible. Wanting to do good, but so often choosing the opposite, almost all of us are incapable of doing any real good. Even Shinran Shonen, the unintentional founder of Jodo Shin Buddhism, wrote in a letter this, quote, "I am such that I do not know right from wrong and cannot distinguish between false and true. I lack even small love and small compassion, and yet for fame and profit, enjoy teaching others." End quote. This is really interesting. This is very quite different than what we hear in contemporary world from spiritual teachers. Most of them do not say such things. The founder of a Buddhist tradition said this. This was different from what I had ever read before, what I was used to. A bunch of gurus running around with 17 levels of awakening. Shinran somehow was different. There was something authentic about this guy. He was unafraid to show his dirty laundry, show what most of us hide. He was encouraging us to see the actual state of our lives. It was like this Shinran guy was a foolish being, and he was permitting us to admit that we too are perpetually foolish. I loved this authenticity, and yet I had issues with this word fool. For those old enough to remember, Mr. T, who you calling fool, fool? I was thinking, Shinran, what are you calling fool, fool? What is a fool anyway? And why are we afraid to be made a fool of or to be thought foolish? No one wants to be called a fool. And I know from growing up in a male world, one of the most emasculating things is to be made a fool of. But again, what is a fool? A fool is simply someone who lacks judgment. And the lack of just judgment is what victimizes the fool. They tend to be unwise. More importantly, a fool tends to be someone who thinks they are wise when they are not. A fool is someone who thinks they know much when they know little. The foolish person is unaware of his or her foolishness. If I look at that definition, I don't know about you, but that pretty much sums up my spiritual journey. It's essential to understand that foolish being is a Shin Buddhist translation. The word bonbu, the word bonbu, also refers to an ordinary person, an average person, a run-of-the-mill person, a just trying to make it through Thursday kind of guy or gal. Regardless of title, position, or experience, irrespective of what we think we are, all of us are nothing more than ordinary. In an old school Buddhist context, it simply means one who is not enlightened or advancing on the spiritual path. That's all ordinary mean. So here is the critical dialogue part. Regardless of what it is meant to those living 800 years ago in Shinran's Japan, I want to be precise. This teaching is less about my capacity or incapacity for good or evil. That is the language of another time. And yet for us here and now, there is an important teaching, a transformative teaching in this concept of bonbu. I appreciated this concept where I started my journey, but I did not identify with it. I wanted to identify with my Buddha nature, my goodness and my capacity for spiritual practice and rightness or righteousness, which can be skillful and yet precarious. If we want to identify only with our Buddha nature, it can be precarious. And why can it be precarious? Our egos, our small ego selves, our storying self that makes up all our stories, it's smart. This storyteller is smart. And it will use everything to weave into its story. It is in a constant survival mode. And when our substance is empty, such as our ego, it must find something to give it meaning. Our egos can easily hijack our spiritual practice for its gains and survival. Something the Tibetan tradition calls spiritual materialism. Years ago, when the fellowship first started, I remember two people sitting in the back, and they were have dueling teachers and dueling retreat competitions. Well, I sat with this teacher for a week, and somebody else would go, well, I sat with this teacher for 2 weeks. in the mountain. And it's somebody else, I haven't sat with anybody. Am I a bad Buddhist? And I said, no, it's not about that. That's the ego. That's the ego feeding itself, prop itself up. What we're talking about here is the complete opposite, the inverse. It's curious that through the years we've gone through, especially through the 2.5 years of the pandemic, I found during that time, especially during that time, that I now identify more with my foolish being side. I realized during that time, I was a lot less wise than I thought I was, a lot less practiced than I thought I was. I realized during that time that my practice, my personal practice, is nothing special. I am not sensei or our practice leader because of my spiritual practice is extraordinary. But in the fact that it is ordinary, like yours, in the fact that we all struggle and fail, the key to all of this is showing up, willing to learn. In the Japanese, they have a saying, 7 times down, 8 times up. The key to spiritual practice is not to become good, but to keep going, as Reverend Koyo Kobose would say, especially in our ordinariness. For me, this teaching is a great starting point for my practice because at its heart, it reveals and helps me to recognize all of my endless striving to be good, to be perfect, to be extraordinary. It is at its core nothing more than to be loved by others and even by the gods. All this dancing and performing, all this look at me, how special I am, is at the heart a theater of fear. The fear that we and others will see our ordinariness. One of our ego's biggest jobs is to hide and deny its ordinariness, its foolishness. It's what Shinran called jariki, or self-power. You could even call it ego power. I appreciate this from Mark Uno, a Jodo Shin teacher, who says, quote, always seeking to present oneself as good is to be caught in the working of the ego self, preventing one from opening up to the spontaneous unfolding of Buddha nature, end quote. This spontaneous unfolding is brought not through effort or by earning it, but through accepting who we are right now with our limitations, awakening to our impermanence. We do not find awakening. Awakening finds us. I'm going to say that one more time. We do not find awakening. Awakening finds us. As Nobuo Haneda has taught, the Dharma is not something Shakyamuni sought out. It was something that came to him once he removed himself of all active attempts to seek liberation. At the heart of this teaching is that Buddhism is less about being good and more about being humble, teachable. A Buddhist is not a good person. A Buddhist is a humble, grateful, learning person. In Japan, there is another proverb that says, the riper a rice cluster becomes, the lower it bows its head. The teaching that we are all foolish beings is simply a starting point that disarms the ego's need to be remarkable. It teaches us that it is not even in our capacity to be special. If we can let go of our need to be unique, we can start to see something even more remarkable, something beyond ourselves. I appreciate these words from Nobuo Haneda again and have adapted them a little bit for our discussion. And this is from Haneda. At the heart of our realization of our ordinariness is a deep humility that gives birth to a profound gratitude. It is that humility, our authentic humanness, is revealed. End quote. Many people think that the goal of Buddhism is to become good, but according to Shinran, it's to become humble. And again, as Haneda writes, quote, we must become humble persons. We must know our foolishness, the existence of our ineradicable egotism. We must know our ignorance, the limitations of our intellects. We must become humble people who can say, I am foolish and ignorant, end quote. Shinran goes on to give an example, and I love that Shinran saw himself as the most foolish of beings. Even so, he called himself Gotoku Shinran. Toko and Gotoku, a term that was used in Buddhism writings to refer to someone who is outwardly wise but inwardly foolish. And I love the fact that he is the appearance of a monk, and yet he knows that he is not a monk with genuine aspiration. What I love about Shinran is he's brutally honest about himself and where he's at. Here as a man who spent the first 28 years of his life in a monastery, practicing as a monk. And he was practicing as a monk. He was trying to follow the Buddha way. And he's sitting there and it's not working. Nothing's happening. What's going on? And I think a lot of us, we know inside the reality of our ordinariness to being a regular person. And like Shinran, sometimes we do feel this imposter syndrome. But it's not an imposter syndrome. It's just a fear of being foolish, a fear of not knowing. How many of us realize about ourselves and yet we don't ever say it, or we would never admit it? This is so different from the Buddhist teachers in our day that I believe have caused so much harm to their communities. They position themselves as wise and awakened, and they do great harm through their sexual impropriety. Still, instead of responding in humility and repentance, they continue to teach because, as one of them said, my teaching is too important. I must continue. Some are unwilling to admit that they did anything wrong. Spiritual materialism at its best. I appreciate the complete opposite example of Shinran, where he admits his weaknesses and failings. As Dennis Harada has written, Shinran demonstrates that our awareness of our inner foolishness helps us realize that we have no personal claim to wisdom, or that any claim to awakening is rather meaningless. End quote. Shinran knew who he was, and he understood the dangers of idealizing someone or something that is not based on what is, on their inherent limitations. When we over-idealize a teacher or a leader, or even ourselves, we set ourselves up for disappointment. When they disappoint, we are seeing them for what they always were, another foolish being like ourselves. But we don't want that. It messes with our story of how they are supposed to be. When we don't allow in our community our teachers and our leaders to come as they are, and we over-idealize how they are supposed to be, we tend to begin to feel disdain, contempt, and become overly fixated on their limitations. I love that Shinran is so different from the Great Oz, because no one had to reveal his secret. He willingly pulled back the curtain of himself and said, "Look, see." I want to go back again to what Haneda wrote. We must become humble persons. We must know our foolishness, the existence of our irredactable egotism. We must know our ignorance, the limitations of our intellect. We must become humble people who can say, "I'm foolish and ignorant." For me, this is simply another teaching of not knowing from the Korean Zen tradition, or what Shinran Suzuki teaches about beginner's mind. To become aware of my ordinariness, the limitations of my intellect, my challenges to be skillful, my inextractable ego, none of this means that we do not all have Buddha nature. It simply gives us the true starting point. From this starting point, we begin to realize that the very Buddha nature we want can finally be found after we remove all the stories and performances of our foolish self that prevents us from opening up to the spontaneous unfolding of Buddha nature. This realization of our foolishness and acceptance of our ordinariness gives us permission to finally stop dancing, stop performing, and simply sit at peace in who we are. It is a beautiful gift. It is freeing. It can open us up to what is. It is at the heart of what we do in our fellowship, the come as you are. Namu Amida Butsu comes out of this letting go, having to be good. Come as you are is about letting go of being what you've been told to be. It's not having to present yourself as good or intelligent or having your shit together. When we can admit this, when we can begin to open ourselves up to this spontaneous unfolding of the Dharma, Namu becomes ordinary being. And Amida Butsu means awakening, ordinary being, awakening, the unfolding of the Dharma. I love this again from Mark Uno, where he says, "By recognizing my foibles and quirks, we open a window into our karmic nature, without which we cannot find our Buddha nature. For it is only when we recognize and take ownership of the full scope of our humanity that we can see ourselves truly and fully as humans." Shin Buddhism, the tradition that we're born out of, the crux of Shin Buddhism is the ability to see and embrace all of our limitations. Instead of feeling we have to hide this vastness of ourselves, our limitations do not make us less. Limitation does not mean less than. Limitation is the reality of being an incarnate being in a physical world. Our biggest challenge is that we see the world through so many stories that are not even our own. And one of those stories is that somehow we have to fix everything. Somehow we're capable of fixing everything, and we're able to do that alone. The Buddha knew when he taught, the way to spiritual awakening is through spiritual friends. He understood that. when looking at our spiritual, certified Dharma teacher program, what are the expectations that we have of our teachers and leaders? And because of this, because of the studentship, because we don't have monks, we don't have anybody claiming to be a Buddha, a Bodhisattva, or special insight, we understand that our teachers and our leaders are practicing just as much from their delusions and their limitations as anyone else in our community. So as our certified Dharma teachers come out, what makes them certified Dharma teachers is their studentship of the way, their studentship of our tradition. Again, it is not their specialness, their holiness, or their nobleness. It is their ordinariness. And as they go forward, it is with humility, being aware of their limitations, that allows them to be our friends, our fellow students, and our teachers. For our Dharma teacher program, there will be a general outline of conduct, and that is going to be focusing on non-harm, which would include any type of sexual impropriety, focusing on compassion, deep listening, respect, and of the individual and their individual path and identities. There is no elevating of oneself above others. There is no casting blame on others. There is no causing discord in the Sangha. The other thing that we will expect from our Dharma teachers and leaders is that they see good in everyone, no matter how problematic their actions may be. So, as we go forward, what is it that we can do with this teaching of the foolish being? How can I apply this to my everyday life? Well, that's found in Come As You Are. Come As You Are gives you the space to be authentically who we are, whole. Wholeness is in seeing our strengths and our weaknesses, or seeing the light and darkness within us, and knowing that they're both us. Our strengths and our weakness, that's us. The light and the dark, that is us. That is us. So I wanted to come up with a way to kind of distill this teaching that I had. And I, of course, being a poet, I wanted to distill it into a poem. So I wrote this poem, and I'll put it up on Facebook and the website again later. And this one is titled Foolish Self, Naked Self. May we all return to our bonbu, to our naked selves, just as we are, to be embraced by the compassion of all Buddhas and of Amida. So finally, we can stop and be still, stop the incessant drumbeat, pull the curtain shut on our theaters of fear, finally stop performing to be seen as good, as wise, or special, and simply sit together in our shared silences, and sitting here together, hear our heartbeat, maybe for the first time. And from that steady beat, open ourselves up to the unconstant folding that is our Buddha nature. Namo Amida Butsu.